I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
Australia's happiest podcast network.
Hey everyone, welcome to Bookish. I'm George DeMorales. This is a show where we ask you what's your story and what does it say about you. Today on the show we have comedian and actor and singer and dancer, quadruple threat, Eloise Eftas. How you doing?
Yasu, Yorgos, Diganis.
Kala.
Obviously, I'm Greek, so I have to speak in our native tongue, just so people know that we're hot and Greek.
And establish the fact that we're vibing so hard straight away so people understand, because they're like, why?
Yeah, so people go like, what's going on with this chemistry? And it's like, well, we're actually engaged, so I can't believe it. We've only met once, but it doesn't even matter.
The love only needs one meeting, you know?
Just because we're wogs, you know what I mean? But no, thank you so much for having me on the podcast, George. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to have you on.
Oh, thank you.
We've got lots to talk about.
We do. I mean, I hope so. What are you going to ask me? I'm so nervous. Honestly, but like everyone needs to know that's listening right now that George looks like he fought in Troy or like Sparta. He looks like an ancient Greek. It's hot. You just need the gold wreath on your head. I'm annoyed you didn't wear one.
Look, my hair naturally just, it does this curl, which makes it seem like.
You look like Paris.
Yeah. So I actually was on stage once and I'm like, I commented on the fact that it's hilarious that my hair naturally grows so Greek that I look like
an
ancient Greek statue. And then I just got the piss taken out of me for the rest of the night by every other comedian being
so
like,
mean.
Did he just compare himself to a Greek statue?
And you're like, yeah, I did, because that's what I look like.
Look, it didn't help that I did a pose on stage as a statue where I was like,
I hope you did. Yeah. Like do a bit
the
of
discus throw one.
Yeah, of course.
The original yeet.
And I'm obviously Helen of Troy, just so everyone knows. That's just my life.
Yeah, both your beauty and our relationship.
Totally.
Yeah. That's just how it is. Guys just always killing themselves over me.
This podcast is actually us playing out like the story of Helen of Troy.
I mean, that's like the original book, so the Iliad.
Exactly. See, maybe I should have chosen that book. I'm so silly.
Imagine.
Can you imagine? That's almost too Greek. Everyone would be like, okay, we get it. It's like when people call their kid like Hercules. It's like, okay, we get it.
Hey, look, in defense of that, I would seriously consider if I had kids, I'd probably want to name my daughter Athena. I reckon it's a nice name.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a beautiful name and also like goddess of wisdom. Mm-hmm. But also I want to name my kid, I might like lose followers about this, but I always say it like, cause my grandfather used to say it that like we're related to Cleopatra because I'm like from the north of Greece, like the Macedonian part of Greece. So Okay. Yeah, I'd call my daughter Cleopatra.
All right.
Hello, Cleo. That's a cute, beautiful name.
I guess we're going to be having two kids then at least.
Yes. Hello. Well, that's more, we've ticked that off. So two kids, you know, at least. Just obviously with a surrogate though, because like my body's obviously, you know, too perfect to be having kids right now, but
to go ruining it with kids.
Well, like, are you joking, George? If you want me to still be dancing for a few more years and obviously being the breadwinner of our family.
Well, okay, look, I kind of do want you to keep dancing and being the breadwinner, so I guess we are getting a surrogate.
Then, yeah, we're going to have to get a surrogate.
And this is my sassy voice while completely agreeing with you.
I love this newlywed podcast. This is gorgeous.
What are we talking about? This is meant to be a book.
Love it. Wait, where's the book part coming? No, I'm kidding. I'm so sorry. I've put us on a tangent.
No, that's what this is all about. Don't worry. Because we've got to find out about you first before I even go into that so we can find connections. Because, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shivers. Yeah. What do you want to know?
Like, to give a bit of background. I know. Everyone should know who you are.
Well, if they don't, it'd be so weird.
Of course. But not everyone does.
But if they don't, I mean, do I have to explain who I am? Is that what the question is?
No, because that's a lot of pressure. I'll give it a go and you can give me points.
I mean, I can do it.
Oh, you want to? It sounds like you want to.
Yeah, I'll interject.
Okay, you'll interject. All right, okay, so.
Yeah, that's the job of the why.
Yeah, that's true as well. Actually, no, Eloise, I'll introduce you, all right?
Fuck you. This is like traditional Greek family.
When did this happen?
Yeah, we're legit. I see what happens. You just resort to that. It's just in your blood, in your DNA. Chopping up vegetables. I'm like, what? What's going on?
I was in my bedroom. How are we in the kitchen now?
I don't even like cooking.
No, sorry. Let's start. Let me give it a go, basically. And I don't actually haven't read. I'm just basing this on my general looking at what you're up to. So basically, you actor. Where did you go to school for acting?
I went to WAPA, so that's like BCA in Perth, yeah.
Oh,
I know, right?
Did you finish and pass?
Yeah, I passed everything. What I actually did, so my first degree was in filmmaking and journalism when I finished high school. So I did filmmaking and journalism, but I've always been like a little singer, dancer, actor, little baby since I was really young. So I used to do like ballet and all of that. And then while I was at uni studying film and journalism, I was like in acting schools and not like just doing little short courses and stuff. And then I auditioned for WAPA after, and then I did the musical theatre certificate course, finished that, auditioned for all the schools. Like I could have ended up in Melbourne. Like I auditioned for all the schools, got to the final round of all the 3-year courses, acting and musical theatre, and didn't get into any of them. And I was so upset. And I was like, fuck this. And then I went to New York. I auditioned for a course in New York at the Stella Adler Studio of Acting. And I got into that it's a summer program. Got into that. It was pretty amazing. I'm not really an Adler technique girl. I'm more of a Meisner technique girl, if you know your acting techniques. But if you don't, maybe you should just Google that later. But it was really...
You could summarize it in 2 seconds.
No, I can't.
Can you summarize it though?
No, I can't. Sorry, that's not my job. That's not my job. I mean, I could, but I'm like, someone's going to at me for it. It was more the fact that like, it was the experience of being in New York. Cause I even would go to dance classes at like the Broadway dance studio. And I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I thought that I was in like intermediate and advanced. And you go there and you're like, oh, like I'm shit. Like when you go to New York, everyone's so good. And like on such a high level, it makes you feel like you're shit. And it's probably a good thing because it makes you hungry. It makes you go like, I got to work really hard. Then when I came back, I was like, I feel a bit old, and I did like a few short films and stuff like that. And then I was like, I'm going to go back to WAPA, but just for 1 year. And I did screen acting. And then from there, got an agent, moved to Sydney. And then, while I was there, I started studying. I did my ever first debut stand-up gig in Perth.
You've really gone fancy with your speech there.
I know. Well, that's the acting training.
Studying the craft.
Yeah, yeah. I started studying the craft of stand-up comedy. And I just, that was the first time. And then I met you that summer, and it was at the Fringe. I was performing in a burlesque. It's got a bit of burlesque, bit of cabaret. Performing in that show, and then I met you, and then I moved to Sydney. Sorry, it wasn't Melbourne. We could have been in love then, but I'm so sorry. I just prefer the beach. Like Melbourne is so shit for beaches, babe. It's weird. So many Greeks moved there. What was that all about?
I don't know. I think everyone just like the first one moved there, and then everyone else wanted to hang out with their cousins. So then everyone just piled in.
But I haven't been back to Melbourne in so long. Anyway, sorry, babbling on. But yeah, anyway, that's my background.
Okay, but I actually know the other side of that we should probably mention is your recent brush with fame, right? Because you've been doing your Instagram stuff, picking up some followers there, and you had a hilarious sketch peeking there, right?
I know, but it's so funny. I nearly didn't post it because I didn't even think it was that funny. I get a bit anxious. I'm always like, is this even funny? Like, I get a bit like, but I think because of COVID and because of like lockdown, I never used to post content on my Instagram feed or post on my stories and be like an idiot on my stories. But then because of COVID, I guess I was like, well, may as well make people laugh because I can't make them laugh any other way. This is before gigs were going back. And then, I don't know, Perth's kind of basically COVID-free. And I don't know, I made a video about something that pissed me off. As a dancer, I was like, I can't believe the AFL aren't going to pay the dancers. And I took the piss out of that and out of the fact that people think you can be paid in exposure. And it went viral. And now I'm famous. Karl Stefanovic wants me to be his third wife. I can't believe it. Ricky Nixon called me a fat, ugly slut because of it, because I mentioned him in a Today Show interview. I know.
I can't believe he wrote that. Yeah, he actually, did he message it to you or was
it? He actually messaged it to a friend because I would never tag Ricky Nixon. Like, I don't give a fuck about the guy.
For anyone who doesn't know, Ricky Nixon's a former footballer with a problematic history.
Because my cousin actually helped me film the video, the AFL video. My cousin was over and I was like, I've got this idea. I don't know if it's going to be that funny. She was like, I'll help you film it. And then while we were filming, I was like, I think I said Eddie Maguire wants my number. And she was like, no, say Ricky Nixon. I was like, true. Because fun fact, I forgot about him, but I was actually used to go to Melbourne quite a bit. I dated a guy that used to play for St Kilda. So SOS, oh. I don't like AFL.
Ex-wag.
But I was a wag. I know, don't. I'm so embarrassed by it. And I'm so like it's so gross. And just like, they don't make enough money for them the way that they act. I'm like, ew. Anyway. She mentioned Ricky Nixon. When I said him in the interview, Karl Stefanovic mentioned, like, have you heard from Ricky? And I made a little jab. And then a friend of mine, who's actually Greek as well, posted it and tagged him. And then he replied to her thing saying fat, ugly slut. Obviously, it was about me, though. And then I reposted it. And I was like, I'm going to be the reason that Ricky Nixon ruins his life again. And I got a Daily Mail article written about me.
I know.
That's... And how he was so, how weird.
It's so weird.
That all happened in 3 days. I literally spread out that fame for 3 days. It was fucked.
Yeah. Was there a lot of messages and stuff like that? A lot of people commenting to you directly? Or
yeah, mostly positive. And obviously gained a lot of followers from it. And it was actually quite positive. Obviously, there's still going to be some idiots who were like, if you don't want to dance for free, don't do it. And it's like, you've missed the whole point. But I can't help I can't help dumb people understand things. Basically, the most negative, that was silly. And obviously, Ricky Nixon. But I've become really quick at just deleting comments. I think I had some people defending Ricky on my Instagram and stuff. And I was like, bye, bitch. And I just got rid of him. Got rid of them. But then I also had people coming for my tagline because I call myself on because it's funny if you've seen my persona, if you haven't on stage, it's still funny, I think, because satire is funny. But obviously some people don't understand satire, but I call myself Australia's first attractive comedian. And people came for me on that.
You gotta love that, don't you?
Oh, I love when people that just don't get comedy. And you know what the worst part is? Other comedians came for me. And I was like, sorry?
You think you're hot or something? I'm pretty hot.
Yeah, but also, that's the worst part. It was from other women. And I'm like.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We should, And it was that was really, it was hard because, and I think it will delve into also the book that I've chosen. It's the way that we see women and the way that we, I guess, put each other against each other. And it's become this really, I don't know, it's putting us backward in a way. My act is quite a feminist stand-up routine, but people see me call myself that and they're like, what the fuck? You can't fucking say that. And it's almost you know what the funniest part is? Is that they look at me and they judge the way that I look. And because I'm conventionally attractive, they assume that I'm being for real.
I can't believe you just...
that I'm not joking. I don't even think I'm that hot. Why the fuck would I actually think that I'm the first attractive comedian? Why would I actually think that? It's called satire.
No, I get it. You're pretty hot.
Yeah, see? It's not, like, that's what I mean. It's like, it's not my fault that people think that.
You're conventionally attractive.
Well, I am. I'm like a skinny white girl. Like, what am I, like, so what?
I wasn't saying anything. I'm backing off. I know.
Like, no. But...
So what? It's like, whoa, I'm no, not the guy that did this, all right? Like, you got beef with... You got people, these other dudes, right? I'm not.
How dare you? No. I'm totally like just trying to explain. Like, that was the funniest thing that happened. Not the funniest thing. It was like probably the most disappointing thing that happened is I started to panic about that. And then I realized this is what's going to happen is if you're in like the public eye and people don't know what you do, they're going to assume the worst. And we're sort of living in a time where like cancel culture is a thing. But I also am like, okay, some of these women, I'm like, people are dying. Let's worry about some other things. Like, you don't need to worry about me calling myself attractive.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, going on a big tangent there, but that's not what happened.
Exactly. Well, look, it's a juicy story, so I think. And I think, like you said, and that's kind of why I wanted to mention that as well as part of all this, is because I think it does kind of relate to the book you've chosen. In fact, there's so much. You've chosen a book which,
look. I thought someone would have done it already.
I haven't. There hasn't been that many episodes yet. We're only like 35 in.
35? Hey, but no one's on this book?
Yeah.
What's everyone else done? Oscar Wilde or something? What the fuck's going on? What's everyone else doing? What? Like, I'm like trying to think of books now. I'm like, fucking what?
Oh, no.
I'm like, Russell Brand's autobiography? Like, what? What's everyone doing?
Hey, did you just look at that on your shelf?
It's me, like, looking around.
Yeah, you're looking, where's the book?
I'm looking at my dad's, like, book stuff. I'm like, what? No, never mind.
You went with Russell Brand's biography.
I have both of them.
What has everyone else done? Like, literature? Like, what, my bookie
book
or something?
Yeah, my bookie book. Like, what else has everyone done?
Because I thought about that too.
Q&A. I was going to do Q&A, which is, like, the book that inspired the film Slumdog Millionaire. That was a good book. But I didn't. I chose...
Okay. All right. I mean, you feel. Like, I feel like now you're feeling the need to show
books.
Off that you've read other books because you're panicking after not saying anything. I believe
you. I'm in Melbourne next. I'm going to tell everyone. I'm going to go. I'm going to pinch your cheeks so hard.
Okay, we've gone. What were we talking about? I feel like we were talking about something, but you've gone off another tangent. All right.
Oh, I was on a tangent, but as in what I've had to deal with is a little bit relative.
Yes, yeah, so because the book, because even though it's in the title, so everyone knows what's coming, but the book you've chosen for today is
Gone Girl.
Woo! By Gillian Woo-hoo! Flynn.
Yes. I haven't read it in a while. I saw the movie a while ago too. But something about that book, why it came to mind and why I liked it is because the way that it's written, like the diary entries, the twists, the turns, I loved the perspective from both sides. And then you're like, what? That wasn't all true. Like, I don't know. I love a bit of a murder mystery. And it just, it caught my eye and I couldn't put it down. I read really fast, by the way. Like, I know, it's pretty impressive. I read really fast. I read books in like 24
pretty
hours.
Pretty smart,
and
I say.
I'm pretty smart and funny. So that's my Twitter handle, Hot Smart Funny, literally.
Own it, babe. Own it, babe, I am.
That's exactly what I'm doing. But, yeah, I think I also thought of, like, the way that it's written and just, like, Amy as a character sort of, like, resenting her husband and just also framing him for this, like, sorry, no spoilers, but, like, framing him for something and all that kind of thing.
It's way too late.
Babe, you're like, this
framing
is
him
late.
For but something, no spoilers.
No spoilers. Like,
what would he be framing her for?
Well, it could be anything, babe. Tax fraud? Like, please.
I think they're going to pick up on what is
I
framed
it, babe.
For.
I saved it.
People you saved it. No one's going to know. Really insulting to the entire audience who listens to this.
I don't care. audiences are dumb. I'm kidding. Oh, my God. I love audiences. Yeah.
Oh, we can tell that, definitely.
Oh, sorry.
No one is questioning that one for a second.
But I'm like, if you haven't read the book yet, like, what have you been doing with your life, Joel? Like,
no, that's,
I mean?
Look, this isn't about, you can't spoil it on here. And the fact is, we can't really talk about this book in detail without spoiling it. So it's okay. And I feel like it was such a big movie that everyone's got to know. In fact, I think one of the key things to highlight to people is how the movie doesn't capture how much the book misleads you. Because the book, the, like, I feel like the book really misleads you.
The book fucks you up.
Because Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember reading it going, what the? And then I was like, I remember when the twist happened and I was like, get the fuck out. Get out. Like that. So, I was like, oh, she got me. She got me. That was me. I was like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
I was doing face expressions and stuff, but like, yeah, I just realized this is like a podcast.
It's all right. Those are for me. It's fine.
I'm an actor. So I can
help. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Some for the audience, some for the host. That's
some for the host, you know? We've got to keep this marriage alive. So
yeah, exactly.
Obviously, like, and even I always think about whatever I, oh, this is, sounds so weird. Whatever I do, I always think about the monologue in the book and the movie where she talks about the cool girl trope, because I think for women that is so important to know how messed up, like, trying to be the cool girl is, and the fact that like bites Amy on the ass and she's basically like, great, I've been living a lie my whole life trying to impress a man, when because society's told me that I need to basically be all these things but also like not care, like you've got to be the girl that like likes watching football and like eating like, you know, pizza, but you've got to remain a size two, and you've got to, you know, and then what did she say? She's like, shit on me, I'm the cool girl. And it just makes me laugh so much, because it's like literally so many women I know I probably tried to be the cool girl before. It's like, oh, it's very, very dangerous for women to do that. And I think it's really, really stupid. So it's important.
Yeah. So I guess like to highlight that in case people, for anyone who hasn't read it or seen the movie, is essentially married couple. You're hearing for the start anyway, is about their marriage falling apart or having huge issues, but for very different reasons, kind of. And it's framed like...
Not like ours, though, obviously.
No, never.
I love this role play. It's so cute.
It's adorable. It's adorable. Okay, so now back to the books, all right? So,
So then anyway, they talk about their marriage problems.
They talk about the marriage problems, and it's framed like one side is the husband talking about how she's kind of like being... like crazy, I guess, and like being a bit distant and all this weird stuff. But then from the wife's perspective in his diary entries, it's like he's abusive and a monster, essentially.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
The big and then she dies, apparently.
And she dies.
It's not really clear who's done it, but then he gets accused, and they find like evidence that points to him. But then at the same time, he kind of realizes something dodgy is going on with her and what's happened, because he doesn't know who died, like what happened. And then it turns out that she planned all this to screw him over as vengeance for making her into this thing that she didn't want to be, or
she didn't want to be
life that she didn't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
And then after that, there's just, well, that's the juicy part of it as well. After that, then it gets a bit
then
crazy.
Then it gets a bit wild.
It's quite a dark ending as well.
It's pretty dark. And also, yeah, it is really dark.
She goes with her ex. And
yeah, and the ex. And also that part of the movie, I couldn't watch that part. I was like this the whole time. I'm not very good with blood. I was like, I can't.
It's so bloody.
I could just hear it, and I was going, oh, like I couldn't, like, yeah, I literally sounded like Chewbacca. I couldn't watch it. But it's pretty heavy. I think that, yeah, the way that this is like the suspense of the book, the way that it's written is incredible. And I think it's like the first time I ever read a book like that. And I feel like everything else after that, I'm like, I don't know, I feel like you're copying a bit of a Flynn there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, in defense, so, yes, I guess, and just also to highlight as well, the whole point, the big thing about the book is that both sides of the stories that you're reading turn out to be unreliable narrators who are hiding things and misleading stuff. And so you're led down one garden path, and it turns out, I would say that she's probably the one lying more in her narrative, but he's also hiding and concealing things.
Okay, wow. No, kidding. I'm kidding. Very true. Well, because he is hiding things. He's been... you know, is a bit of infidelity going on. There's a bit of, you know, he sounds like the worst. And I also feel like Ben Affleck being chosen to play him was like great casting, because like he's so boring. But, you know, sorry, that's a bit of a jab at Ben Affleck, but I'm like, ugh, eye roll, I'm a bit over him. But it's just like the fact that, yeah, you don't know who's actually telling the truth. And then it's like, yeah, a really dark ending. You're almost like, wait a minute, who am I feeling sorry for? And you know what? For a lot of the time, I do feel sorry for Amy, because she is a victim of the patriarchy. See, I brought it back.
No, I brought it back. That's exactly what...
but it's true.
Well, that's okay. That's interesting. That's a very interesting read of it, I would say.
I feel like for a little bit, I feel like obviously she's a fucking psychopath, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I'm like, we love a revenge story.
What?
We love a revenge story.
The revenge story isn't even like a revenge. It's such an unreasonable revenge story, isn't it? Like,
well, no, because it's like he's just. For me, I'm also going
like he's not great, but
you're like he didn't. Did he do anything that wrong? I was like, he's a white man. that's enough. He deserves this. No, I'm kidding.
Lock them all up.
No, I'm kidding. That's too much. But my point being is like. You know, when she talks about like the cool girl trope and like I had to play this part and I had to, and you know what, she didn't have to do that, but I think a lot of women feel like they have to do that, and it's very telling with the way that, you know, feminism is now and the way that we're sort of like pitting against each other and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, because we've been told that we are basically only there to make men happy or make men like us. So then when we see women who are like comfortable in their skin and stuff, it's like, wait a minute, like, why don't you hate yourself the way I do? Because they think that like we're doing it to make men happy. And it's like, no. And that sounds like a weird tangent that I've just gone on. But like, I don't know, I think it's really important. Like, this is the first book that I read that really like touched on that and touched on that narrative and how, you know, that is a thing that a lot of women do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, you're wrong. That's totally crazy. That's
But I'm not. I'm always right. I'm always right.
You couldn't last 2 seconds.
I'm going to hurt you. No, I'm always right.
Of course.
I couldn't last. I couldn't do it. No. I'm like, sorry?
Sorry? No, I was pretending to be like what? Neutral. And I don't know, but I don't know. It's like, no, I know.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So you're seeing, it's interesting. So you're reading, your appreciation of it partially was, even though she's crazy, you're like, yeah, fuck you, the system.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, is it, yeah. Well, a little bit. It's the system making her crazy.
Well, it is. And it's like, obviously, you know, I guess, I don't know, we want to, obviously I'm like, oh God, that girl needs help. But then I'm also like, I don't know, isn't it sort of like the revenge story of like, you know, if someone cheated on you and you're sort of like, well, I'm going to ruin your life. Like, I'm just like almost something that like I would never do. But it's almost, isn't it kind of fun to read someone doing it? And you're like, that's fucked. But also... I would never do that. I'm like a normal person.
Yeah.
Okay, you look like you don't agree, and I'm so offended. But I
haven't said anything.
Exactly. And that's why this marriage is falling apart, and that's why I'm going to fake my death.
I'm scared now, to be honest. I'm terrified.
No, but like it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm,
this role play has gotten really scary now. I committed
it's
early
dark, babe,
I didn't think about the book of choice and how dark this was gonna get.
Look, it's just there's something about like his character where I'm like, fuck, I hate him a little bit. I mean, I for her as well, I'm like, oh, she's actually a psycho and she's terrible, but there's moments where I'm like, do you blame her? I see it from both sides. It's bad.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm saying for both sides. All right. Well, I'll.
You say. Well, you say what you think. Are you like, I hate her because she's so scary?
It's such a strong woman. I'm terrified. No, actually, you've opened my eyes a bit because I never even considered it as being read from the point of view of. But that's probably because I didn't read the book. I only saw the movie, which still frames like as in make being understanding of both sides, but also very much I feel being very clear on the disproportionate nature of what's going on, like as in it's
totally
not equal. So you're just like, I haven't heard of the idea of treating that reaction as legit because it's not about this one guy in this situation. It's about fuck you all.
Well, it's almost a little bit like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a bit of, I feel like the book's not just about like revenge on a cheating partner. It's also about like being stuck, like being a victim of the patriarchy and being like having this internalized misogyny where you're like, I have to be like this in order for a man to love me. And then you're stuck in this Like, and then the thing is though, like none of them win. Like both of them end up having to live like in a loveless marriage. And she's basically like, well, I've done this. Like, she's like, well, I've made myself, I don't even remember if the movie ending is the same as the book ending.
Yeah, it is.
It is? Okay. Preggers. So yeah. Preggers, she basically impregnates herself with his sperm that they like had saved up somewhere in a clinic or something. And then she's like, so if you leave me, blah, 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 I'll never let you see your son or something or your kid or whatever. And he's like, well, shit. Like, I don't know. It's like, what a weird ending, like for both of them. Mm. I'm like, well, good luck with that. And it's almost like they're just going to have to pretend that their lives are perfect, which I'm pretty sure a lot of people do anyway. It's almost like her little fucked up thing that she did. It's almost like, that's kind of hot. Like, it's almost like he was like, this is fucked, get me out. But also that probably reignited their marriage, don't you reckon?
Okay, I was terrified before, but now.
Is this too comedy? Is this supposed to be serious? Is this supposed to be serious? I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're joking, but you're also serious in this. That's what's so interesting.
But I'm also not joking.
You're definitely not joking.
Well, it's like, I mean, I swear to God, if I have to marry like a dumb, boring guy like this character in the book, I'd pretend to kill myself too. But I'm saying, like, I don't know. Imagine pretending to be something your whole life so that a man would love you and then he cheats on you.
Okay.
Fuck that. Can you imagine?
I can't.
She's pretended to be something. And also the fact that she's also been a victim.
Imagine you pretend to be something you're not. I wouldn't believe it.
You're like, says an actor. Yeah, but I know that I'm doing it. You know what I mean? That's the training.
That's Meisner, all right?
That's Meisner, Joel. It's also the fact that she is also a victim of, like, her parents' wealthy, like, rich, white upbringing of her, and the fact that they're like, you're perfect and you have to be this perfect little girl and you have to say and do all these things. I basically wrote a book series about her called Amazing Amy, and she almost had to live up to that, which is also a lot of pressure. It's like the Paris Hilton documentary on YouTube. If you haven't watched it, you're probably like, what? How does that relate? It's like, well, for her whole life, they basically, you know, would call her grandmother gave her the nickname Star. And they would call her Star, and they were like, you're going to be the next Marilyn, the next Grace Kelly, like, you're gorgeous, and, like, put her on this pedestal. And then when she ever tried to be a normal kid or rebel, they sent her off to, like, these really intense, like, you know, there's, like, kind of, I don't even know what they're called, but those schools for, like, delinquent kids, basically. Mm. It's almost like an army. It's almost like a jail for kids, and basically, like, traumatized her for the rest of her life. I know it's like seems like a far-fetched comparison, but it's sort of quite similar. The fact that, like, you know, little girls are told you've got to be this, 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 whereas, like, I think with boys they get away with so much more because they're not held accountable for their actions. They're like, that's just boys will be boys. It's almost like you've got to live up to this perfection. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, firstly, it's interesting you're saying that because, like, I was looking at it as two people doing bad things, and one reacts disproportionately, and you're looking at it like two systems, two people reacting to it, and one is legit because fuck all these men and putting me in this box. So it's an interesting way of justifying that, like, or at least not a justifying, but understanding how, like, that's just it's a take which I wouldn't have had myself of, like, but again, I didn't read the book, I just saw the movie, of, like, understanding where she's coming from in that sense. Because, like, couldn't you argue then that the guy is just as much a victim of all that stuff as well?
Yeah, for probably. That's exactly right. Like, the whole thing of, like, when people say, like, oh, all men are trash, and they're like, what? Like, what? You can't say that. It's like, well, if you think that you are, if you know that you're not one of those trash men, it shouldn't affect you. Hmm. But at the same time, it's like, men are also a victim of the patriarchy because they are not allowed to be sensitive or show emotion or all those things. And that, so therefore we're all victims of it, and that's what needs to change. And that's why in the book, you're so right. They are both victims of that. Obviously, Amy's got a few issues there, and she's taken it to the extreme. I agree. But you can see my point as in, like,
oh, no.
She has had a lot of trauma in her life. I'm not going to say trauma. That's probably not the best word, but it's almost like looking at it from, like, a psychology, like a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. It is pretty interesting that, like, her parents wrote a book about her and she was, like, this perfect little girl. And then she basically grew up to be pretending to be this perfect little girl her whole life. And then when it backfired and she was like, I fucking can't stand it here. Like as in, you know, her husband's cheating on her, not paying her attention, blah, blah, blah. That she results to the most extreme revenge, which I think a lot of women probably go, I fantasized about that before, but they would never do it. You know what I mean? But that's also why the books are, it's a bit of a, I think it's like a little bit of a revenge fantasy.
Look, I just feel like no one's thinking about the man's feelings.
Oh, but babe, no one cares anymore about men. No,
not all men, okay.
But at the same time,
I'm definitely coming across. We're both coming across.
Like, hey, this marriage is never going to work out.
Very specific types of people.
No, but I totally agree. Like, we can't like be like, oh, well, that's like, it's not just men's fault. It's not just like, you know, the reason that the patriarchy. Like, I mean, it's older men's fault. Like, it's a bigger picture. It's like a bigger issue.
It's all about Ricky Nixon, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's all his fault. No, but you know what I mean? Like, if we look at it from that perspective, it's like, yeah, they're both victims of it. She just went, whoa, like way too far with it. But that's why the book, I think, is so interesting. It's like, this is a revenge. I think it's a revenge fantasy.
Oh, it's definitely, yeah. It plays it like that.
Yeah.
But like, even the, yeah, I mean, and. Like, I don't think she loses. She gets everything she wants, like, in a roundabout way. She plans and plots the whole way there. So I guess she's a victim of her own craziness at the end.
But also then got what she wants. And then he also, like, he's a bit, I think he, doesn't he, like, fall in love with her again? Because he's like, damn, she crazy. But
maybe in the books, but.
I'm trying to remember what I like, reread, like, the plot. Because I was like, oh, I'm trying to, but I think, you know. No, I think, well,
that's why she does it, because I think he talks about bringing it all out, and then she's like, well,
true. Sorry. Yeah. But I think, like, he probably.
Just another man copping it, and somehow you're saying the chick's a victim, huh?
She is.
Tale as old as time.
Tale as old as time. No, but it's like he deserved it. Like, no, but it's like, it's again, I don't know what else I can say other than, like, it's a bit of a. Yeah, everyone's a victim of the patriarchy.
Fuck him.
And fuck Ben Affleck. I'm sorry. The photos of him with Ana de Armas and he's like making her laugh. It's like he's not that funny. There's no way that he's that funny. Have you seen those pictures of the paparazzi? It's like she's like pissing herself at him. And I'm like, he's not funny. Like, help. She's trying to be a cool girl. You know what I mean?
Are you seeing Amy's issues in real life with a girl with Ben Affleck who's then acting in a certain way, and that's a reflection of the same story?
Yeah, girl, it is.
It's hilarious.
I can see connections everywhere. It's like when girls will say, you know, the worst thing is when girls will say things like, because the thing is, it is other women who need to stop doing it, because it is other women who like perpetuate it as well. Like, I don't see other guys, like, obviously guys do as well, but I'm saying, like, if women stop doing it, then it won't be such a problem for other women. Like, you know, when women will be like, oh, I'm not like the other girls, or like, oh, I hate hanging out with girls. There's so much drama. It's like, what? Like, what? Like, so you hate other women, like hanging out with other women because there's so much drama. Like, who told you that? It's like other men told you that and you believe them. And therefore you're saying that, you know, you don't like other women. Like,
there's no drama with you ever?
No, I'm a nice person. I'm a nice person, Yorgo.
Very calm and relaxed. And
you probably think I'm the opposite. I'm just very passionate and very smart, and I think people take it the wrong way.
I know they do.
You know what I mean? No, but it's like,
I know what that's like, babe. I know what that's like.
Babe, you would know. It's also just like, you know, if we start shaming women for certain, as other women, like shame other women for certain things, it's like, this isn't feminism. This is like exactly what men want us to do, is hate each other.
Hmm.
And that's my little roundabout way to bring it back to that.
Well, it's interesting because like the way from, because my initial read of it would be something like, wow, again, on the most high level, dumb guy who's not reading into it deeply enough, would be like, wow, this is like, this book's weird because it's actually, and it's weird that everyone likes it because it's playing into every single stereotype of what you would think a lot of women would not want perpetuated.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea of the woman gaslighting, the fake pregnancy, the abuse, the emotional abuse and all that, the lying constantly about every aspect. And
yeah.
It's like, all this stuff seems like something a lot of women would be like, we don't like this being popular. But you're framing it in a way where it's like interesting that—
almost like on surface level.
Yeah, but it's interesting that you're framing it like that it's still seen as a good text in some way because women are like, yeah, fuck it. Like this is a revenge fantasy, so do all that shit.
Well, yeah.
Even though it perpetuates these like stereotypes a little bit.
I know what you mean. Like there are obviously those stereotypes and this whole thing of like women are crazy and stuff, and it's also just like, but why are they crazy?
And she's so crazy.
Exactly. And it's book explains why are we crazy. It's like because we've been told to be something we're not our whole lives since we were little girls. And that's what I think is so important to take from the book is that, you know, we shouldn't have to pretend that we're something that we're not and be in loveless marriages. Obviously, the ending's a bit like, okay, no one wins here. But at the same time, I'm like, well
again, it sounds like she wins completely.
Yeah, at the end, maybe she does win. And I guess like she's sort of threatened. And the thing is, I guess—
But apart from the fact that she's crazy, but yeah.
But also I feel like, I don't know if Flynn's trying to say this in the book where I'm laughing at the idea of like, she's like, well, if you leave me, blah, 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 like the baby, blah, blah, blah. I sort of feel like she's saying that like, I guess he just has to get over it, sort of the way she had to get over pretending that she was in love with him from the beginning.
Okay. So that's your read.
You know what I mean? She had to live a lie. She had to live a lie for her whole life. And now he has to go along with this, you know. And if he does anything else, she'll probably, like, she's pretty scary. Like, you know what I mean? It's all that the tables are turned and he's like, oh, shit, now I'm in this. Is that too far-fetched? I think it makes sense.
I mean,
I don't know.
Again, it's fun seeing the view you're taking because it's very much like angled very much from a very clear perspective. Like, as in, he fucking deserves it. Mm-hmm. He had to fake, and she had to fake it for a bit. So you know what? He has to fake it twice as much because fuck him and fuck all men.
Yeah, look, I mean, not fuck all men.
I know.
And obviously,
I know.
Like only the ones that are hot. But That was a joke. But not all of them. Only the ones with good personalities who use protection. Yeah. But it's more that, like, I think it's the revenge fantasy that probably women never get, and I feel like for so long. I don't know, men have sort of always been like, yeah, like, you know, I don't know, like the whole thing of women having to be a certain way to please men, they're like, oh, I only like girls who watch sport and I only like girls who, you know, do this, 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 but you've got to be this, this, this. It's like, stop telling us what to do. And at the end she's like, this is what you're going to do. Boom. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's what happened.
But it's just nice to read it. Yeah. It's just nice to play out a fantasy.
Like, I'm not saying it's a good thing at all.
It's like you said.
I'm saying in an ideal world, we would be equal and it would all be good. But
until then, fuck.
We're like, you know what? Till then, fuck every man ever. No, I'm kidding. No, but you know what I'm trying to say. I mean, babe, it's hard. Like, obviously, as wogs, you know, we've been told to be a certain way. Don't you think that you're a victim sometimes of that? So you're not, because for you it wouldn't be because you're a boy.
What do you mean? I'm such a victim. I feel like, honestly, in some ways the biggest victim, to be honest. Because like
I'm gonna hurt you so badly when I see you.
It's just like if you think about it, right, who's the biggest victim? The person who no one thinks is the victim whilst being a victim. So when you think about it like that,
oh, here we go.
I just think, you know.
Well, the thing is, but like you know exactly. The thing is, we're still like fighting for that same like equality. Like that's what's so funny is it's like people think that like women hate men and they're like, it's the fact that like feminism is changing and the way that like, and society is changing. And I think like the way even men are like hopefully is changing, but it's the fact that like, I'm still learning to deal with, especially as like, you know, from being from like a wog background, like being second gen, you know, there's things that I still feel like I'm a victim of. Like I still, you know, I'm still trying to tell myself, oh, it doesn't make you less of a person if you sleep with someone and they end up not wanting to date you or something. Do you know what I mean? Like stuff like that.
No, the internalized stuff. It is like, a lot of work to constantly catch yourself in
that. It's so a lot of work.
Yeah, I know that.
Right. And I think like, you know, it's, that's what I think. It's not just a cultural thing. There's so many other factors. But I feel like to learn to like not be like that is sort of like our job, so that we can like change it for everybody. So obviously, like, we're not going to go around pretending that we're dead and like framing our husbands and stuff. But also at the same time, like, people will argue, like,
unless they deserve it,
obviously. But a lot of people say, oh, you know, why is the divorce rate up? Like, it's because women have got more rights and like they think that they don't need husbands. Like, my grandmothers will always say stuff like that. And I'm like, no, it's because I think women have also realized that like they don't need to stay in a loveless marriage or like an abusive marriage or be a maid or be a psychiatrist for their husbands, because that technically isn't going to make you happy. And that's not really like my grandmother's always like, why aren't you getting married? I was like, it's not because I don't want to get married. It's like, I haven't found the right person. I'm just not going to settle for the first, like, you know, sorry, Yorgo, but I'm not going to settle for the first guy that asked me to marry him, because at the same time, it's like, it's not a race. It's also the fact that she always talks about her marriage and like, I love my grandfather, but like, fuck, that sounded like hell.
It's got to love
She's
that.
Like, yeah, I looked after 4 kids and I was the chef and I was the bloody, did all the laundry and stuff. And he went to the club and played cards. Like, yeah, that's
a marriage.
And obviously, you know, he was the breadwinner and blah, blah, blah. But things are changing and probably for the better. Mm. But obviously we need to probably not be as extreme as Amy, you know, in that sense. But yeah, we need to see why these problems are happening.
So that's interesting, yeah, because you're saying like basically maybe that's one of the appeals of it, even as like cruel as it is, that ending does have that flip dynamic, which a lot of women might feel like they don't have in a marriage where they've got all this pressure, but it's like he's now just completely at the mercy of her. And it's like, I guess a lot of women are seeing that as like
like, it's a revenge fantasy. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Get it, girl.
I mean, it's allowed. I'm all for the same, fiction satisfying that. Guys have got plenty of those. So it's definitely fine for girls to get some too.
Exactly. So that's, and this is, I think, the first book that I think I actually saw that happen and play out in this way. And you're sort of like, oh my God. Like, at first I was like, she's a psycho bitch, but also I'm like, hello, you know? I'm like, what? She did that.
No, that's cool.
I don't know. I think it's important. I think, yeah. And even like with my stand up, a lot of people don't get it. And I think I'm making fun of women by playing this persona on stage. And I'm like, no, I'm actually making fun of how people see women, like being a strong woman on stage who's like, I actually am hot and can get everything that I want. Isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
But people think it is.
It's crazy that that's still.
Because society has told us to be. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Especially in Australia. But
yeah. I mean, anyway. I guess, and that's maybe another connection a little bit. This is satisfying. I guess women can be violent, crazy, like controlling, like power hungry people. Like, and that doesn't mean all women are that, but some can be. Just like, you know, women can be sexy and proudly confident. You just shouldn't be judging all women on that, or like, yeah, as an individual.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, I guess that psychoness that she's got of like cruelty, like women could do that too, be just as crazy.
Totally. But at the same time, I also feel like that just goes to show like that was the tipping point. It was like, fuck this. Like, that's her, like, gotta feel sorry for her a bit and be like, poor thing. Poor thing. She had to go through all that. And it's obviously a very white problem to have, but I'm not saying it doesn't happen to other cultures or whatever, but like, you know, she flipped it on its head and was like, that's enough.
Yeah.
She got enough. And she got what she wanted. I feel like that, but that's the thing. It's like, I'm not saying all the time, but I think like so many men will walk out of marriages, even if there is a child, because they'll just be like, I'm bored. I don't want to be with you anymore. I want to be with someone else who's younger. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it is playing into like,
God, there's a lot of weird things.
Yeah, I guess it is playing. It even captures that element, like the guy wanting to sleep with some younger girl, and then like, it's like, we've got that. Yeah, it is very much a revenge fantasy. Yeah.
And again, she is the trope of the cool girl trope. Like, he's like, oh, she's a college girl, blah, blah, blah. He basically is just like looking for a newer, fresher model of her. He's like, so okay. I'm done that's with that right. one. But that's what, I mean, not all men, but that's what a lot of men do.
But plenty.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, no, let's be honest. It's true. You better not do that to me, but.
And I won't die. Never. Not for at least 10, 15 years.
I'll do it to you. No kidding. We'll see.
I'll stay fit.
First. We'll see.
I'll stay fit. I'll exercise.
You better.
Yeah.
You better. Thank you. You better learn how to cook, Yorgo.
I can cook. Don't worry. I make my Greek salad. Phenomenal. It's beautiful.
Oh, babe. I love how it's like the easiest salad to make. And I'm always like, I make such a good Greek salad. Everyone's like, what? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's my culture.
Exactly. You can't teach it, you know? It just flows through.
Chopping up three vegetables. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah. Olive oil, vinegar. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. Well, look, we've got to call it off there. It's been very fun, but I feel we have to head sometime.
Yorgo, efaristo poli. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Actually, it's so much fun.
Actually, one question I always ask is, do you think from our conversation that you've found any new connections between yourself and the book?
Yeah. Like, obviously, I really got to make sure I don't marry down because I'm probably going to do something wild if I do. So gotta check myself before I wreck myself.
And still be like, yeah.
I've got to watch out. Like, I don't know if I'm that capable of, like, not going to jail. So, yeah, just that's what I've learned. Actually, I've just learned that I'm, like, really smart. That's what I've learned from this. And I can talk a lot of bullshit but make it sound really, really intelligent.
I know. That's definitely...
One of my skills,
dog. You've proven it. Everyone's like, how smart is she? Like, go check out this podcast about books. I sound pretty smart, so.
I know. Well, yes. Thank you so, so much for having me, babe.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.